Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Football Friday. I want to hug you, Tiki. We finally made it to the start of a brand new NFL season, and we have taken Evan and Tiki on the road. We are live from one of our favorite places here in the tri-state area. We are live from American Dream at this big Giants season kickoff event at American Dream. So if you're in the area, come by, hang out, say what's up. There'll be Giant legends. There'll be Giant autographs. And really, the biggest Giant legend of them all, you'll see for 4.5 hours, because that's one Tiki Barber. Tiki, happy football day to you, sir.
Thank you. I'm excited about this Football Friday and this Giant Football Friday over here at American Dream. If you are around or in your car and you might have an opportunity to come this way, come this way. There is a massive setup here for New York Giants Fan Fest. There's a massive Michael Strahan statue that I see.
I did something inappropriate to Michael.
What did you do?
I had my arm around him. Yes. I was talking to him, and then I put my finger between his teeth.
Oh, come on, man.
Which was very disrespectful, and I felt bad.
Well, this is the Giants season kickoff presented by Verizon. It's fantastic. There's already a massive line lined up. They're going to have some the old heads, we like to call them, signing autographs until about 5:30 or so. And then you get some of the current guys. Russell Wilson will be over here. Tyrone Tracy will be over here. Malik Nabers, etc. So a fun, enormous event that the Giants have set up here at American Dream.
No doubt about it. Now, we'll get into the hot Tua situation from last night. We will preview week one of the NFL season. There's a lot to get to. But this is the day, as a Jet fan, hello, as Giant fans, 98% of the people here,
hello,
where we can all have optimism. Because this is the beginning of a football season. And The Athletic does something so great every single year. I give them credit. They poll every fan base to measure their hopefulness going into a season. And I find that fascinating because I want to make this clear when I talk about hopefulness. I think most Jet and Giant fans have hope for the future. Like, in the case of the Giants, they drafted a young quarterback in Jackson Dart, who it seems likelier than ever is going to play sooner rather than later. He had a wonderful preseason, and I totally get the hopefulness that fills the idea of a future quarterback. I think the Jets have the same thing, not with the quarterback, but with the head coach.
Okay.
And I think that, so I want to make this clear. I think most fans have hope for the future for both of these franchises, but hopefulness for this season is far different. Because I don't know about you, I'm a 42-year-old man. I haven't seen my team in the playoffs in over a decade. Sean is a 47-year-old Giant fan.
Oh, hold on. 38-year-old
Giant fan.
I was going to say,
he's,
did you get that old?
They've given you a lot, but they haven't given you a lot recently. So when we talk about hopefulness, I get we're optimistic about the future. I'm talking about now. I'm talking about this football season. So I'll make this comfortable for all of you to be open and honest about how you feel. My hope for 2025 as a Jet fan is right now down in the dumps. I just want to be honest with
Why
you.
Why is that all of a sudden? Because for so much of this offseason,
yes,
it felt like Evan the Jet fan,
yes,
had optimism.
Correct.
Good defense. You got a head coach that you appreciate,
yep,
because of his success as a player. Obviously, his success as a coordinator with the Detroit Lions.
Yep.
And you signed Justin Fields, someone who you advised the Giants to take a year ago.
Absolutely.
When he was traded, I think he was.
Yes, I wanted the Giants to trade him and compete with Daniel Jones.
But
yes,
what the ask was too high. The ask obviously fell. The Pittsburgh Steelers took him at a okay start for the first six games of the season. Then he got benched for Russell Wilson. So we come to the Jets, and you're optimistic.
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden are you pessimistic?
It's a great question because I think most of this offseason I did have a level of optimism that, hey, with better coaching, this team should at least win 8 or 9 games. And I think a few things have happened. Number one, the injury to Elijah Vera Tucker is a major blow,
yes,
and I can't deny that.
Next man up.
Number two, as much as I've tried to not listen to the noise of expectations, it feels like the Jet fan, even you, Teak, as an IFO, has kind of soured on what you expect from this team.
Yes.
The other thing that's happened is as we get closer to the start of the year, and I sit down and I look at the Steeler roster and I break everything down, I see them losing on Sunday. I see them losing the following Sunday.
Come on.
I see this team being 0-2. As a Jet fan, like, I'm like, are they making the playoffs for the first time in over a decade? The answer is probably not. My hope-o-meter is not high.
You're doing the old radio bit. Win week one, lost week two, lost week three.
Yeah, yeah.
Win, loss. Oh, we're screwed. You can't think that way.
Tiki, are the Jets making the playoffs this year?
Probably not.
Thank you.
Here,
there you go.
The only reason that I'm somewhat pessimistic on the New York Jets is because I have no idea about the New York Jets. They have been intentionally obscure around training camp and preseason, and they didn't do anything. I mean, Justin Fields started in two of those preseason games. What did he throw, 10 passes?
The first preseason game, they had one really good drive with him, and I was inspired. I tried to remind myself it's the preseason, and it doesn't matter.
But it was just with his legs.
Correct.
And then the second preseason game, he completed his first pass, didn't complete the next four, and then was out of the game.
Yeah.
And so I have no idea what to expect from the Jets offensively. I know what they say, or at least we say what they're going to be, a running team. Justin Fields helps you be that running team because you have to count, as we always talk about, for the sixth skill position player who is the quarterback who can run and do all kinds of different things with his legs. But I haven't seen it.
No, I get you.
And so until I see what the Jets are all about, it's more like a non-opinion, not a negative opinion.
Well, okay, so I am excited about Aaron Glenn. I'm hopeful about Aaron Glenn.
Of course.
So if the hope-o-meter was about the future, which I don't really feel like doing on September 5th. You know what I feel like doing on September 5th? And I invite Giant fans when we get to you guys to talk about this. I want to make the playoffs. I'm sorry. This is not about, we're moving in the right direction. I'll say that in January.
Right.
I'll say that in February. But on September 5th, when the NFL season is starting, when I watch the Eagles raise their banner, I want to have hope that I'm going to watch my team play January football. And when it comes down to that, my hope is very low. So I'm going to ask this question one more time, T, because you agree with me, even though you're being really sweet. Are the New York Jets making the playoffs this season?
Probably not.
Okay. Hey, Sean, are the Jets making the playoffs this season?
Absolutely not.
Thank you. Tommy, are the Jets making the playoffs this season?
Definitely not.
Okay, now let's get to your team. I have every reason, much like I said, I'm optimistic about Aaron Glenn and the future of the franchise. That's great. I'm not talking about the future. I'm talking about this season. Are the New York Giants making the postseason in 2025? Really? I'll start it off by saying no chance in hell. Would you like to continue, Teak?
Realistically, also probably not.
Okay. How about you, Sean? Giants making the playoffs this year?
Absolutely not.
Hey, Tommy, the Giants making the playoffs this year?
It's complicated. Well, hear me out. Let's say they go, 0-3, they go to Dart, and he's the next great quarterback, then my answer is yes. If Jackson Dart can...
Just answer the question. Are they making the playoffs?
Currently constructed with Russell Wilson starting, they're not.
Okay, so you guys, whether you say it or not, your hope-o-meter is not that high. And that's not disrespecting where the Jets and Giants are going, okay? I get it. In 2025, we're looking not just this year, but towards the future.
Right.
I'm not wired anymore. On opening day, and we are on the eve of the real opener of the NFL season, to just say, well, the future's bright. That's irrelevant to, is my team making the playoffs this year? And as we sit here today, and I want to be hopeful, because, hey, it's the NFL, you never know, neither team is making the playoffs.
But
when we're sitting here in January, we're breaking down the Knicks.
But is that the real measurement of success? We had this conversation 2 days ago when Aaron Glenn defined what success was for the 2025 New York Jets, and he gave some answer that made no sense because no organization depends on the fans' opinion of you to determine whether or not you were successful or not. But that's what he did.
He said, I want the fans to be proud.
Right. I hope the fans are proud of us.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. That was just coach speak to talk to the fans and make them think like they were important. It has nothing to do with anything. What every NFL team wants to do is first and primarily, as we talk about with the New York Yankees, win the division. Try to win the division.
Are the Giants winning the division?
Because when you win the division, hold on, I'll get to the Giants in a second.
Are the Jets winning the division?
When you win the division, you're in the postseason.
Right.
The second thing that you try to do, regardless of your start, whether it's great or whether it's terrible, is to play meaningful football in December.
Yeah.
And so, to me, when I look at both of these teams, I think they could be playing meaningful football in December. And I'm not talking about pushing for a postseason bid, but I'm just saying they're not irrelevant. Last year, the Giants were irrelevant in December.
Sure.
Last year, the Jets were kind of irrelevant in December.
Right.
We tried to, maybe this can happen. I remember this was 6 or 7 games that maybe they can do this or that. They were irrelevant. It's the last thing you want because then the fan base tunes out. They're not proud at all. And the players – just don't feel as engaged or dialed in unless they're fighting for their job.
But if the bar is simply, are we going to be in a better place as fans next December than we were in the previous December?
The answer is yes.
It's an easy,
I think it's yes for both teams.
Of course, it's an easy yes. Because right. A, the Jets had fired their coach 4 weeks into the season and had a 41-year-old quarterback. So obviously, it was the pits of despair. And now, even if they have a bad year, yes, like I said at the top, there'll be hope for the future. There's a new head coach. They may draft another quarterback because Justin Fields isn't the answer. Like, even in a bad year, sure, you'll be in a better place. And on the Giants' side of things, you have this young quarterback that you're hopeful to watch. But is that really the bar we're setting? Is the bar we're setting, are we in a better place than a year ago?
Yeah.
I can't do that on opening day. That's my only difference. Like, I've heard this whole, the Jets are moving in the right direction, the Giants are moving in the right direction. I'm not arguing that. I'm merely saying when the season starts, I want to have hope my team makes the playoffs. And as we sit here today, I feel like it's going to be a stunner for either team to make the postseason. And that's the goal. Let's not change the bar just because we're pathetic the last half a decade.
Both of these franchises are starting 2025 with a new coach on one side and hopefully a new quarterback coming. That is where the hope meter lies. Evan, I think that as a Jet fan, I feel your pain. I understand the playoff drought and wanting to get there and thinking you're going to get there with Rodgers. But I think the Jet fan can look at the Giants as a cautionary tale. Is it really going to...
Cautionary tale.
Listen to this. If you are the seventh team that makes the playoffs in the AFC and you had an exciting year, you break the streak, Justin Fields plays good enough, you get in, maybe you stun and you win a wild card game and you get blown out in the divisional round. Now, maybe we're going to make a commitment to Justin Fields where
right.
he didn't necessarily prove it all along. Maybe you set it back. Just don't look so short-sighted and say, my goal is to make the playoffs, because I think the Giants... In year four of Dable and Shane are a cautionary tale that satisfying a playoff run for 1 year can actually set a franchise back in what they're trying to build.
If you follow it up with bad decisions. So what I would tell you is this. Let's say I'm wrong, and I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong about both teams. Like, I want to sit here in January breaking down playoff football games, not the Knicks' meaningless game against the Celtics. You know what I mean?
Two Knicks shots in the first second.
I know.
It's actually a compliment towards the Knicks, not a knock. They'll be relevant. Let's say the Jets make the playoffs, which I don't think most people actually believe. Okay, but let's say they do. And Justin Fields is good to not good to great. Mm-hmm. I believe Tiki and I, and Darren Mugi, because I have to have belief in him, can look past their record and make a decision long-term, hey, is Justin Fields the answer? The Giants made a mistake. They did. They made a mistake. They had a really good year.
After the 2022 season.
After.
Yes.
And look, I was a part of that mistake, right? Because I looked at Daniel Jones and said, hey, I think Brian Daboll got the best of him. Run it back. Bring him back.
Right.
I think that I have to have belief in this organization that they can look through how they had success and not make a dumb commitment to Justin Fields. So to answer your question, I completely disagree. I want to win football games. There's nothing bad about winning football games. The Giants didn't screw up by winning games in 2022. They screwed up by their decisions after 2022. Those two things can be separated.
Right.
And what I want as a football fan is I want a postseason, man. Like, we're spoiled around here. The Knicks are there every year. Even before that, my team was there every year. We're used to playoff basketball in New York.
Right, Yankees are there every year.
The Yankees are there every year. The Rangers, until recently, are there every year. Think about the last decade in this city. How often have we had that Saturday and that Sunday where we're talking about a playoff game? And so I get Jackson Dart can be a star. Aaron Glenn may be the next great head coach. That's all fine. But on the eve of a football season, I want to have hope that my team is a playoff team, and I'm sorry. Right now, neither one is, and we're not even close.
We
so my hope-o-meter sucks.
We don't know that. My hope-o-meter is not as bad as yours, Evan. And maybe it's just because I'm now very close with the New York Giants.
Are they making the playoffs?
Doing pre- and post-game. That's not important right now. Doing pre- and post-game, which you can listen to right here on WFAN every Sunday, me and John Schmelk. So, yes, I feel the optimism around the Giants. I feel the plan that the Giants have in place right now. The fact that they had to cut really good players this training camp is something that you can't take for granted. Because I remember it, you guys remember it, after cutdown day over the last couple of years, it's like, all right, let's scour the waiver wire and see if some cast off from the Detroit Lions is better than whatever guy we were going to bring back from the practice squad.
Here comes Nick McLeod.
Exactly. That's not what the Giants had to do this year. You give Joe Shane credit for putting together a really solid roster. Now it's all about executing, and you bring in and rechange your quarterback room to a degree that is just, it's the complete opposite of what we had over the last couple of years. And is Russell Wilson going to give us 17 games of elite MVP-type football? I don't know. Probably not. But I know he can still play. And you saw it a little bit in the preseason. You saw it in stretches last year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can cast off the Denver experience because that was bad, both with Nate Hackett, my buddy, but also with Sean Payton, who got tired of him at the end of the year and just benched him. And so, I feel like the Giants have chances to stay close, just like they did in 2022, and win games. And they may surprise you. Right? In fact, the more I look at the circumstances around this weekend's game down in D.C., I forget what the state. They changed the stadium. It's not even FedEx Field anymore.
It's like United something.
Yeah, it's something else.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Northwestern Stadium.
Northwest Stadium.
Yeah.
If they win, I wouldn't be surprised. Mm. And it's not because the Giants are all of a sudden a world beater. The Commanders are flawed.
Let me tell you something right now. If the Giants win on Sunday, that's a hell of a win.
Of course
I don't
it
think
is.
Anyone should take anything away from that.
Any win is a win. It's a hell of a win.
I agree.
I'm getting hammered on a train ride home, but that's a thing.
I understand. WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. By the way, I mentioned the Hopometer is this cool thing that the Athletic created where they poll every fan base. Do you realize that 26 of 32 fan bases have a positive Hopometer score going into the football
season?
It's
pre-week one. Why would they not?
Well, I'll tell you why. There are six teams and six fan bases that are on the negative side where more people are pessimistic
than optimistic.
Let me guess.
Yours is one.
The New York Jets are indeed one of them. The other teams are the Miami Dolphins, the Cleveland Browns, the New Orleans Saints, the Indianapolis Colts are actually dead last.
Well, they
Daniel Jones'
Jones.
Team, yeah.
Poor Daniel.
And the other team, the Dallas Cowboys. And that was prior to the Micah Parsons trade and prior to them losing on Thursday Night Football.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
So this is a poll of the fan base.
Of the fan bases, yes.
And the Cowboy fan was net negative.
87% had a negative feel coming into the season, 13%
that
positive.
That is shocking.
For the Giants
to
fan,
me, that feels like an ownership/GM issue.
Oh, absolutely.
That is not a what our team is, how our team is constructed.
No, it's a Jerry Jones issue.
It's a Jerry Jones issue.
1,000%. The Giant fan, when you compare it to every other team in the NFL, was 18th out of 32, so kind of in the middle, but 70-30 when it comes to optimism. And I kind of get that sense from Giant fans. The difference I have is my optimism and negativity is at the beginning of the season, it's based on making the playoffs.
Right.
And as we sit here today, I think the Giants are likely a 5-win team, and I think the Jets are likely a 6 or 7-win team.
Well, you're looking,
and that ain't good enough.
You're looking at the wrong bar, the wrong measurement of what success or what optimism is based off of. Because you are desperate for playoff football.
Sure.
You're desperate.
What's wrong with that?
You're so desperate for it, you can't see the importance of taking the baby step. And so, or maybe not even a baby step. It could be a giant leap. You can't even see that because the only thing you care about is the end game.
At the beginning of the season, yes. I believe when you start seasons, whether it's in the NFL, MLB, even the NBA, I'm a fan of the worst basketball team in the world. I start years thinking, can I make the postseason? Mm-hmm. And I want to be in a football world where these teams make the playoffs. And right now, you all agreed with me, so it's not like we're disagreeing. I went around the room. Are the Giants making the playoffs? Your answer again was?
No.
Tiki, your answer was?
Probably not.
And Loogie, you're about, he was complicated.
He was complicated.
By the way, NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long. Kickoff with the juicy weekend matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers by the New York Jets. Starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Do Giant fans have optimism? Do Jet fans have optimism? We'll hear from you to begin at 888-808-1019. And what do you measure optimism? Am I too black and white that it's about making the postseason? What are the odds you get struck by lightning, Teak? Be honest.
I mean, if you got metal in your face, I don't know if they still have metal in the face mask, but I'm just going to assume. Let's say there's metal in the face. There's metal in little clips on the helmet.
Okay. One in a million, bro.
One in probably like 50 million. But
exactly.
Still, if that happens, then and someone dies on the field?
Well, why you got to go to the most extreme thing?
It's mostly for the fans, I think.
You think so?
The fans who are someone sitting on metal benches. It's just dangerous for them.
And so. I want to be clear, like, I'm not a hypocrite because I was sitting on my couch safely. I remember the Jets and the Vikings had a lightning delay when Brett Favre returned. It was actually to MetLife Stadium, first year of MetLife Stadium. Favre was on the Vikings. And they played, and there was a lightning delay.
And I remember saying to Benenga, what are we doing? I mean, am I really going to get struck by lightning? We're not going to get struck by lightning. Let's just do it.
Yeah, it just forced me to turn the game off.
Well, forced me to do a Rico. But the beginning of the game was the talking point, because it was obviously crazy when we saw Jalen Carter spit at Dak Prescott. And I saw it, and I had the same reaction everyone else had, which is, that's disgusting. Right. He's awful. I can't believe it. But then my next thought was, what did Dak do?
Or say.
Or say. And that doesn't exonerate Jalen Carter, clearly. But if I spat in Tiki Barber's face, and I never would, I assume you would have done something that caused the spit.
Well, I mean, you know why he didn't? Because football players are just dirty, and it's disgusting.
How many times did you get spit at before?
Never intentionally. But other things have happened. But he spit on his jersey. It's not like he spit in his face.
He was trying to get to his face, bro.
It doesn't matter. He spit on his jersey.
Okay.
And as a football player, you're like, all right, whatever. It's disgusting anyway.
Right.
You don't even care. So you don't react. But if it was in his face and you feel it, then you react. Your uniform is like your shield. It's like this armor that you have on to protect you. And so it's like, all right, whatever. Good luck.
Well, I mean, it got him ejected.
Of course.
And it was a huge blow to the Eagles, but I was fascinated by what Dak did, and it took not very long for the social media police to show us a clear video that Dak Prescott was the first spitter, and he spat on the ground. Now, after the game, to Dak's credit, he admitted it, and he gave a whole story about, well, I spit a lot. I didn't want to spit on my linemen, so I spit towards the ground. Let me tell you something.
This sounds like a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, there was a second spitter.
I am convinced, and I have great respect for Dak Prescott, because I think what he did was brilliant. I think this was all done on purpose.
He goaded him?
I think Dak Prescott, who is a known spitter, realized, you know what? Getting Jalen Carter out of this game would help us, and he's a hothead. I'm going to try to goad him a little bit. And so I think Dak Prescott purposely laid the spit down to try to goat Jalen Carter into doing something crazy, and it worked. So, A, I give Dak Prescott a lot of credit, but B, let's not exonerate him like, oh, he was so innocent. I know he's a Man of the Year Walter Payton guy, but he can also be, you know, hey, I need an edge. We're not as good.
That's giving him, I think, too much credit.
Am I?
Yes. To think that you're, by spitting on the ground away from your offensive lineman, technically towards the Eagles' defensive line, that you're going to goad him into Jalen Carter to spit it, getting into your face and then spitting on you.
Let me ask you a question. You're a great football player, played many years. You were known for being smiley. You even said, I smile all the time. If there's a guy who you know is such a hothead, and you know you can get their goat a little bit, would you not purposely give him an extra smile, thinking, you know what? He's going to lose his mind.
Maybe.
Have you done it?
Sean Taylor would do it all the time. But he was so dialed in. May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
He would just F me every time.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Blank you. Blank you. Blank you.
Hey, bro, it's all good, man. Blank you.
Hey, I mean, yeah, good tackle. Blank you. Nonstop.
So you know this thing could work.
Of course.
So I think Dak Prescott, and it's up to people out there if you're going to be mad at him or you're going to think he's brilliant, he goaded Jalen Carter into the spit.
It's a great take, Evan.
Thank you.
I'll do you one better. I don't think it was Dak Prescott acting alone. I think this was a game plan led by Brian Schottenheimer in his first game as a head coach. I only say that to say...
Brilliant, by the way. Brilliant.
We all know the MO on Jalen Carter. Like, he's borderline nuts.
But it didn't work. They lost.
They lost, but it made it easier to move the ball up and down the field. They were running the ball. Javonte Williams looked like rookie Javonte Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you can't predict what's going to happen. I don't think they thought that he would get ejected. I think they were looking to draw 15 yards and have him do something stupid. We also don't know what Dak said pre-spit, too. You know, the draw Jalen Carter near there. Look, I think the Cowboys had, and they know, the Eagles can be a little dirty. The Cowboys, I think, drew up a game plan to try to design
it. I just think the Giants better learn from this. When you guys play the Philadelphia Eagles, they are a goatable team,
yeah.
and the trade-off is worth it. I mean, you get one of their better defenders out of the game, and I disagree with you, Tiki. It did work. Now, they didn't win the game, mm-hmm. but were they not marching down the field at will to start?
But I think that was – this is game one mimicking preseason football. That's what the first half felt like to me. Because neither team got a stop.
Until the lightning delay.
Was.
And speaking of not getting stops on the Eagles, could we just have a round of applause for that genius Howie Roseman signing Adoree Jackson and the inactive Azeez Ojulari last night? What a job, Howie. What a genius.
That's your victory out of last night?
Yeah. What a genius.
Yeah, they still won.
Yeah, they did. They're still undefeated, and they're the defending Super Bowl champions, and Saquon's an Eagle.
Can we have a minor victory?
It's a minor victory. Let's get to your phone calls, 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Let's go down to Atlanta, Georgia. The devil went down to Georgia and said good afternoon to our friend Vernon. How are you, Vernon?
That's right. I'm great, man. Only thing about it, I know, Evan, you would do what you're doing today, and that's vote everybody into saying that the Giants won't make the playoffs. But I'm surprised that my representation up there in the studio is going the same way. I've been a fan for 56 years, and I feel that we can win 9 or 10 games. Russell Wilson will lead us, right? Tommy, don't think Dart's going to play this year. I've seen Dart play the last 3 years down here. And you know, tell me this. You think Dabo is a better offensive head than Lane Kiffin?
I mean, it's close. I mean, Lane Kiffin's a great college coach.
I would say yes. I would say yes, Vernon.
Okay, I'll take that, Chief. But anyway, man, listen. When we make the playoffs, I don't want to hear Sean and Lugie tell me, yeah, the Giants in the play. I don't want to hear that, all right? Keep that same.
Thank you, Vernon. You know what? You're right. Our friends on this stage, not me, because I'm a Jet fan, I'm a loser. My friends, Tiki Barber, Tommy Lugauer, Sean Morris, they represent you guys, everyone here at American Dream, everyone in the audience. They're Giant fans. They all agreed, like lemons, that they're not making the playoffs. Where are the guts? Where are the balls? I'll ask you again, because Vernon's right. Sean Morash, are the New York Giants making the playoffs?
No, and I'll ask you again.
Wow, this is sad.
And I'll ask you, Evan
Roberts. I'm sorry, Giant fans. I tried.
Evan Roberts, are you the king of out-of-context clip-cutting at the end of the year?
Of course.
Okay, so why would me or Tommy, if we think this is going to be an enthusiastic, like optimistic, the team's going in the right direction year.
It is going in the right direction, by the way.
If we think the team's winning 7 games and taking a step forward, and next year they're going to be the trendy playoff team, I don't think that means we're a bad Giant fan. And oh, by the way, if they surprise us and go win another 2-3 games beyond that, we don't have the right to celebrate.
That's what Vernon said. He said you have no right.
Vernon, I love you. Take a lap.
Yeah, he got his soul stolen down in Georgia.
Hey, I'm giving everyone the chance. This is the beginning of a football season. What's so great about the NFL, even though it doesn't have as much parity as the reputation is.
Hold on.
What do you mean?
It does, though. No, not compared to baseball, but what are you laughing uncontrollably about while we're doing a radio show?
Because this is important.
Go ahead.
You guys should be coming to the Giants season kickoff here at American Dream. There's a Legoland shop next to us, and I just saw somebody go into that shop with a Patriots number 12 jersey, and on the nameplate it simply said, Eli's bitch.
That's funny.
He just won this.
Can you do me a favor?
Go take a picture of
it. You got to take a picture.
I'll be right back.
You got to go find it.
That's a classic jersey. I forgot what I was saying, but let's hear from a Cowboy fan after they started the year 0-1. Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
Hey, Ozzy. Early call today, huh?
I'm at Dream Bar.
You're at Dream Bar? That's right upstairs.
I'm drinking beer.
We're right near you. The Dream Bar is located above us. We are at a stage area. Probably one floor down next to the Legoland Discovery Center and next to Sea Life.
You not hear us? We have these massive speakers blasting our show in this lobby that is literally right under you.
Yeah.
How can you not hear us and wonder where we are?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me have a couple more pops, because if I'm going to listen to the
Sea
Sisters.
You just wanted to get some drinks. I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
There's no bar
down here. If I got to listen to the two sisters in the back of the automobile, Sean and Tommy, bicker at a high pitch, I need it to be loaded up if it's live. You know what I mean?
No, you need to be loaded up because of that poor performance in the second half by your Cowboys.
Oh.
Yeah, Tiki. was that C.D. Lamb or Anthony Volpe playing receiver for me last night?
Jesus.
Oh, my God. Anthony Volpe.
It was the lights, man. It was the lights.
Yeah, Steve. Anthony Volpe takes the Tebow knee to field ground balls now because he's saying a prayer that, A, he catches the ball cleanly, and if he does, that he reaches first base with his throw. So that's what he's actually doing.
And Volpe's got a big issue because his first baseman last night can't catch baseballs. I mean, Ben Rice had one of the worst nights you'll ever see.
And Evan, yeah. Jalen Carter has officially become his own worst enemy, copycat league. All the players in his league are going to try to get under his skin all the way dating back, because this is the professional league, and they do what it takes, to his potential reckless driving case where he might have gotten away with murder. So that young man is in danger of jeopardizing his entire career, because I don't know if he has the intestinal fortitude to withstand what's coming his way.
What it made me think of, and this is a Giant reference, so you guys will certainly remember. Do you guys remember when Odell Beckham and Josh Norman were going
yes,
at it?
I do.
And I remember my takeaway the next day, Monday morning with Joe, was, here's what would scare me. If I am a cornerback, I'm going after Odell.
Right,
I am going to
just jaw at him.
Jaw
at
him. I'm going to get into his head. And I definitely think, and that's why I even said, just as an IFO, boy, hey, Giant fans, when you face the Eagles, goat this guy.
Right.
Because I definitely think he was goated. And that's not to excuse his behavior. Spitting in another guy's face is incredibly disrespectful.
Jersey.
It's just, I think he clearly shows you he can be gotten to.
Yeah, you're susceptible to that. It's funny when you go back to that Odell thing. I think the Odell thing was part frustration because Josh Norman was good at that point.
Yeah.
After he left Carolina, he was not. But it also was allowed to happen. Because I remember people talking about this, and it was obviously Odell's got to control himself, but how the hell does Tom Coughlin let him do that?
Agreed. A lot of that was on Tom. Not to absolutely refight old fights, but yeah, I remember walking away thinking, boy, Tom's lost his. Like, he wouldn't have allowed that while
right.
he was coaching
and so,
you guys.
And so the question will be, what does Nick Sirianni do to Jalen Carter?
Yeah, so I think what's said after games matters. So I want to give you two examples. One is very bad for the New York Giants. One is about Jalen Carter. After the game, Jalen Carter felt remorseful.
Of course.
And he said, I'll never let my guys down again.
Right.
Here's where the CeeDee Lamb joke should scare the crap out of you. CeeDee Lamb, after that game, put it on himself. Cannot happen. And talked about how extra focused he's going to be. And as you guys know, he faces you guys next week. And so I almost expect CeeDee Lamb to give just a monster effort. Plus, they were feeding him the football a lot. How many targets did he get last night?
Yeah, you know what was for dinner? Lamb drops.
That's a good one.
Thank you. It's a good one,
except it was good on a Thursday night. Will it be good on a next Sunday afternoon?
Just keep that in mind. Devo's locking them down. We're not worried about that.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, I thought his focus after the game, because I was curious to hear what he would say after he basically cost his team the game. And he gave the exact answer I'd want if I was a Cowboy fan, which is, it's on me and the laser focus of what comes next. So, we'll see. Let's go to Jack, who's calling from Hoboken. What's up, Jack?
Hello, gentlemen.
What's happening?
Hello. So, I got 2 points for you, Evan. I will be at MetLife on Sunday, and I'm not saying where my seats are, but I will know if there are Steelers fans in your seats.
Thank you, because that's going to give me closure at night. If I sold my tickets to fellow Jet fans, like, I'll feel better. But if you tell me it's Steeler fans, I'm going to have a sleepless night, and I will blame myself for their eventual loss to the Steelers. So thank you, Jack. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm going to let you know. And look, I feel good about this Jets season. I don't think they're making the playoffs, that's first off. But I have another question for you, Evan. Would you feel good if they go like 7-10 or 8-9, but show improvement throughout the year and win a lot of games at the end?
So the answer to it is, in January, when we are all sitting here around the table talking about the season that was, I would say, hey, disappointing we didn't make the playoffs. I feel good about the future. Same as you guys.
Right.
I'm telling you, on September 5th, going into the season, that's not what I want.
Well, it's because you haven't seen a game yet.
Yeah.
And it's also the issue with the Giants. We say, all right, maybe they'll make the playoffs. They probably won't. But we haven't seen them play yet. What happens if they come out on Sunday and Russell Wilson is spectacular? Malik Nabers, despite not practicing because of a back issue a couple days ago, is Malik Nabers that had 109 catches a year ago and is dominant. Tyrone Tracy and Cam Scadaboo run roughshod all over the Washington Commanders.
like I used to do back in the day? What happens if that happens? What if the defense goes bonkers and contains Jaden Daniels and all the pass attempts are intercepted by Paulson Adebo and Deontay Banks? Like, what happens if that happens?
You want me to tell you what happens?
And then the optimism will change.
100%. No, that's the answer. If the Giants win, I don't even care how.
Right.
If they beat the Commanders on the road, because that's an incredible victory. Division rival, mm-hmm. got to the title game last year, huge expectations. What are they, 6.5-point underdogs, 5.5-point underdogs? You win that game. When I ask all of you the same question on Monday I just asked about making the playoffs, definitely Sean will give a different answer.
How could you say that?
Because I just know the way you think, and I know the way football fans
think. So you know the game pick I'm picking later in the show?
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
If they beat the Commanders on Sunday, and they are 1-0, and the reality of beating them sinks in, if I ask you Monday at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 4:30, will the Giants make the playoffs, your answer will be yes.
Evan, if I think they're going 7-10 and missing the playoffs, you don't think I've already accounted for what games I think they're winning?
No, because the emotion of a game changes everything.
He's right. You have them winning this game.
I do.
It doesn't matter.
No, you did.
Because you thinking it on a Friday at American Dream is far different than you experiencing it, especially you being in the building. And by the way, I want to be fair about this. I think Jet fans will do the same thing. And I can't even tell you that I won't do the same thing. Mm. If the Jets beat the Steelers, and let's say they do it in resounding fashion, like, they beat the crap out of that geriatric Aaron Rodgers, right? And it's a dominant victory. 20-3, right? Kind of like the Lawyer Malloy game when the Patriots got crushed by the Bills after they cut Lawyer Malloy. Remember that whole thing? It's resounding. I'm not going to lie to you. If you ask me Monday at 4 o'clock, hey, is Jets making the playoffs? I may be so clouded by that game and the optimism of that game that I'll say yes, too. Mm. There's only 17 of these. This isn't a baseball season.
Interestingly, the Steelers on your hope-o-meter are just a slot above your Jets.
You want to know why?
Basically 50-50.
Do you want to know why?
Because of the quarterback.
No.
Because
incorrect. I'm going to tell you why Steelers fans
are the law of averages?
Nope.
I mean, Mike Tomlin's been there for 19 seasons.
Stop right there.
Never missed the postseason.
Stop right there. That's it. They've lost faith in their head coach.
He always makes the postseason.
Teak, I love Mike Tomlin. You don't have to. Don't be mad at me. I'm giving you the info.
Here's the thing with Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is good.
Yeah.
He's a really good, maybe great coach. But his teams aren't great. And so he's good enough to get him into the postseason. But then you run up against the Baltimores and the Chiefs and whoever else.
Sure.
The Bills. The Bengals, etc., and he just they're not good enough to beat those teams.
We are in such a weird position, but if we are sitting here 17 years from now, and the Giants, they make it every year, they're good every year, but they never go far, Giant fans will be done with Brian Daboll. Same thing with Aaron Glenn. So I like Mike Tomlin. I would take him coaching my team. You guys would take him coaching your team. But I think the reason the Steeler fan doesn't have optimism is because they were ready to fire him at the end of last year. Fair or not, I think that's just the way they feel. Let's go to Ralph in Clinton, Connecticut. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. How are
What's
you
up,
guys
Ralph?
Today?
All's good.
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, not too much. Hey, Tiki, I want to first start by saying I've been a Giants fan forever. You need to be in the Hall of Fame. That's number
one.
One
of these days. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you too, man. Hey, I just wanted to make a
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple of points about the Giants. I think everybody's kind of sleeping on them. I really think that we're looking at probably a 10-7 season this year, probably making the playoffs. And I would liken it to, Evan, you like this. I liken it to the Mets a little bit. And I'm not a Mets fan, but I do like what they've done with the young pitchers coming in. I think the Giants have a lot of fresh blood coming in. Shadaboo and second year for Malik Nabers and also Abdul Carter, great defense. I think they're going to have the best defense in the NFC. So I think that being said, I think Sunday's game is going to be 27-17, Giants over the Commanders.
Right.
And I think they're going to get after Jaden Daniels. I really do.
Well, that's the key. I mean, if they can get after Jaden Daniels, it changes changes everything about this game on Sunday.
I can't think of a good comp.
I love comps. Sports, sport to sport comps, same sport comps. I love them. Like,
who doesn't love a good compilation?
Love a good compromise. Compilation. It's neither. It's comparison. That's what I mean.
Oh.
I think of the Giants and where they are. So you got fourth year of Shane and Dable.
Yep.
A couple of bad years, but the first year was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But also a new hope, a new infusion of talent. I'm trying to think of like another football example or even a baseball or basketball example where in the fourth year, where most fans were done with the coach and GM 8 months ago, things turned around and there was success. And I think this one's really unique if the Giants have success. Because it's almost like they're all getting a second life. They're getting a second chance. And that doesn't usually happen in this town. So
yeah.
I don't have a good comp for the potential 2025 Giants. You have one?
I mean, obviously the 2007 New York Giants are a good comp because there was one good year in Coughlin's first three.
Yeah.
We went 10-7.
But you guys never fell off.
10-6.
You didn't fall off like that.
True, because we weren't hurt. We weren't beat up.
Right.
But we were very average. Went 8-8, made the postseason,
but
lost to the Eagles.
That's far different than what the Giants just were.
I'm just trying to find a comp for
no,
you.
No, it's a fair comp because of the fact that you're – people were ready. I'll never forget this. Training camp 2007. They wanted Coughlin fired.
Of course.
They wanted the GM. It was done. It was over. I remember making this comment. It was my first year doing middays. What a stupid comment I made. You ready for this, T?
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I own what I say. That it was purposely done for the Giants to fail in seven so they could fire Tom Coughlin. Oh. That the offseason was so uninspiring that it was all set up.
I don't even remember what they did that offseason.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I just remember saying that. Actually, wait, I take that back. I think that was 2011. I think that was the second
right.
Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm thinking that.
But it was that was similar.
Yeah.
The Giants in 2007. The faith wasn't there in the coaching staff.
I believe also they waived. It was Pettigrew and Arrington, I think, at the time. And they were, like, turning over those guys.
Right.
Strahan held out, exactly.
So you think the Giants this year are going to be the 2007 Giants, Tiki? Are you picking them to win the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I already picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl,
I can't
go back and say the Giants. But I do feel like the Giants are on the right path. I feel that there is a plan and a direction that hasn't felt like it's been here for a couple of years.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.